Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. The party of abortion end, infanticide? We never thought we would miss Bill Clinton, and we still don't, really, but it's worth noting that his position that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare is now officially not welcome in the Democrat Party of today. Instead, woke Democrats are increasingly embracing the radical position that all abortions should be legal, even those that result in the deaths of full-term healthy infants. All the more reason why Congress should immediately pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act, Senate Bill S-130. The bill would establish criminal penalties for any healthcare practitioner in the United States who neglects, intentionally kills, or fails to provide standard medical care to any child born alive following an induced abortion. The bill would also require healthcare workers to report to state or federal authorities any cases where infants born alive were not provided the necessary care. And I quote, "Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that killing a little baby is wrong," Senator Ben Sasse, Republican of Nebraska, the bill's sponsor, said. "This shouldn't be complicated, but it may be." On Monday, February 4th, Senator Patty Murray, a Catholic Democrat from the state of Washington, blocked the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act from passing on unanimous consent, a procedure under Rule 14 that allows a bill to be fast-tracked if no senator opposes it. Senator Murray objected to the bill, claiming that the language of S-130 was a gross misrepresentation of the bill's purpose to prohibit infanticide. "We're moved beyond all common sense when this body can no longer unanimously condemn murder," Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, said after the bill was blocked. "It is now up to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, whether to bring S-130 to the floor for a roll call vote." The fact that Senate Democrats are not even able to bring themselves to pass on unanimous consent a bill banning infanticide is an indication of how far the party of death has fallen into the hands of abortion zealots. Who can forget the cheers and applause that greeted New York's Reproductive Health Act, passed by the state legislature last week, which allows abortion up to birth for reasons of health? Similar bills have also been introduced in Democrat-controlled legislatures in New Mexico, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Democrat lawmakers 2 years ago in Congress even introduced a similar bill at the federal level, the Women's Health Protection Act of 2017, that would have invalidated most all restrictions on abortion nationwide, including allowing abortions up to the point of birth for ill-defined reasons of health. While the Women's Health Protection Act has not yet been introduced in the current session of Congress, its earlier iteration had gained the support of 42 Democratic senators, including 2020 presidential candidates Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Amy Klobuchar. What better demonstration of the fact that the Democrat Party now applauds the late-term abortion of fully formed babies well into the third trimester? Will Americans now wake up to the abortion extremism of one of America's two major political parties? A bill introduced by Democratic lawmakers in the Virginia legislature earlier this year, called the Repeal Act, HB 2491, would also ensure that abortion would be legal through the third trimester for reasons of, and I quote, "mental or physical health," end quote. As reported last week, HB 2491 would also repeal all common sense restrictions on abortion in the state, including a 24-hour waiting period and informed consent requirements. Statements made by the sponsor of the Virginia Repeal Act, Delegate Kathy Tran, Democrat of Fairfax County, caused a media firestorm last week after Republican State Delegate Todd Gilbert asked her whether the bill would allow abortion, and I quote, "where it's obvious a woman is about to give birth, she's dilating." Shockingly, Tran replied, "My bill would allow that, yes." Amidst public outcry over Tran's comments, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam defended the bill in a radio interview the very next day. He calmly explained that third trimester abortions are decisions that should be made by providers and the mothers, end quote. It goes without saying that a baby is fully formed and capable of surviving outside its mother's womb even before the third trimester. But Governor Northam didn't stop there. If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen, he continued. Quote, the infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and mother, end quote. Now, repeat, the infant would be resuscitated, and I quote, if that's what the mother and the family desired, close quote. Since when did allowing a child to live become a family decision? While an infant born alive and breathing is in need of care and attention, parents and doctors would instead be debating whether to let the child live or die. Indeed, what Governor Northam is advocating is infanticide, pure and simple. Governor Northam should immediately retract his grossly irresponsible support of the Repeal Act and should publicly apologize for his reckless and perilous endorsement of infanticide. We're not holding our breath on it, though. Following the nationwide fallout that resulted from the governor's radio interview, a spokesperson for Governor Northam defended his comments, saying that they would only apply to infants with, and I quote, severe fetal abnormalities, end quote. So, it seems the governor's office sees nothing wrong with infanticide just so long as the infant has a serious disability. How reassuring. Governor Northam later doubled down on his infanticide comments, saying, I don't have any regrets. I have devoted my life to caring for children. Now, the governor is a pediatrician by practice. He tweeted last Wednesday that any insinuation otherwise is shameful and disgusting, end quote. No, Governor Northam, it is infanticide in any form that is shameful and disgusting. It is sheer, evil, morally abhorrent, and your tacit approval of it is extremely dangerous. Every person, without exception, has a fundamental and inherent right to life, most especially the weakest and most vulnerable among us. By turning your back on children born alive and advocating for them to be denied basic care, if that's what the mother and the family desired, Governor Northam, you have made a mockery of your profession as a pediatrician. As Elie Wiesel once said, there may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest it. End quote. Americans must not remain silent when public figures advocate for infanticide or abortion. There are no circumstances under which it is ever excusable to intentionally kill a fully formed, breathing, living child. Every child deserves our love and care. We must recommit ourselves to stand up for the right to life of every human being, never backing down and never allowing ourselves to sink into silence or complacency. Governor Northam may soon be forced to resign because of the outcry over this and other issues. As for Kathy Tran, she has canceled a town hall and is ducking press inquiries. Senate Republicans are expected to push for a roll call vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act at some point in the near future. It remains to be seen whether any members of what has now become the party of abortion and infanticide will vote for it. This has been your weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Thanks for listening.